with each one of us, knowing as Christians now, I'm talking to Christians, each one of us knowing that God says you can count this as you're already here, and then he lets us know about heaven. He lets us know about the songs you heard about, heard sung this morning, and you were a part of. But the key to the wisdom of God is in your believing and trusting. It's not what you memorize through the human brain, but it's what you capitalize on in the winning spirit, the spirit that Almighty God has given you. So question after question after question is always raised. After 40 years of ministry, I've realized that the questions that continue to be asked are the same questions that was being asked 40 years ago. And that it seems difficult for us to understand. The reason is, you and I cannot understand the greatness of heaven. God tells us that our journey down here, we are journeying on earth, and we are not attached to earth. God says, look, I'm going to create you, and I'm creating you in my image. And I'm going to give every human being that I've ever created, I'm going to give you a personalized personality and spirit. There will never be another one like you born. But each individual creation of God is there for a purpose. The Lord tells us that as we walk through life, that there will always be a purpose in our walk. And folks, when there's a purpose in our walk, there's a purpose in our talk, and there is a purpose for every pain that you and I will feel. It's not an old, Lord, cancer again. You know, Lord, pick on somebody else. That's not the spirit. That can often be the thought process, I'm afraid, of many Christians. Do you realize that at a point you will understand as Christians that each pain you have needs to be shouted out as victory? Every hurt that goes on in your life, God says, I'm going to turn it into good. But if we look at ourselves so often and say, I'm nothing but a failure. Why in the world would God take our children? Why would God do a lot of things God does? Well, you're not going to find the answer to all of them. But I can share with you from God's word the focus that he places on you and on me as individuals. We are the only of God's creation, the only, that has freedom of choice. We are the only ones of God's creation that have freedom to accept God as God. All the animals, nature knows God's God. We're the only one that has a choice to either accept him as God or to reject him as God. We're living in a society today which we see pure rejection. Christianity is mocked, and it's always mocked because they don't understand. Let me share with you this morning, because it's important that we do listen always to the facts of God instead of the supposition of man. All the hypotheticals. You know, well, this, yes, but let me tell you something. Anything can happen, but God says it'll be good in the end. The facts about righteous, the saved, and death itself. Why death? Why does death have to be? Isaiah 57 verses 1 and 2, great for anyone with children, great for those who've asked the question many times that I would hear it when I'm doing funeral services. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. How many times have we heard that out in the world? Only the good die young. Well, there's a lot more to that than you think. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. You and I don't know what's going to happen to us in the next second. The evil of life. We don't understand that. God does. And God says, I love my children. I will protect my children. I will do what it takes to make sure that my children are blessed. And Jesus went to the cross guaranteeing our blessing. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. That has nothing to do with soul sleeping. Your soul is not going to sleep. The physical human body sleeps until it finally gets to the point it can't even sleep. I'm excited over what's to come. But the excitement that I have in what's to come of meeting the unborn, meeting the children that have gone on early in life, you and I will be blessed. Because we will be in their presence. It is the same God that protects them, that protects us. Now, when you're thinking of this and you're seeing the Apostle John, it always says, dear children. And if you'll read close enough, find out he's talking to adults. Folks, we are the children of God. God has always existed, so we will naturally be his children, correct? But God says, I want you to understand how much I care. God said, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Ooh. Explain that. You can't, neither can I, nor can all of those who say they can. It is of the Spirit of Almighty God. And he said, all you need to do is trust me, I got you. I got you. Preacher, that's a paraphrase. Yeah, but it's a good one. I got you. I'll protect you. Yet we walk through life as Christians and we get hurt every time we turn around. Someone either breaks our heart or we get cancer, we get some other disease and say, why me, Lord? Frankly, folks, I had much rather it be me than any member of my family that I love, including you. And God says, I got you. As a Christian, I know that God has me. And he even reminds us, what can the world do to you? Or they can take away your home or your property. God owns all of it. Certainly not me or you. And not only that, I know from God's holy word that there is a mansion waiting for me and that I get to be in the real city and world to which I was created, the kingdom of Almighty God. We are strangers here on earth. God says you're just passing through. So you're not ever going to be totally happy about anything. Why not? You're not at home. You get homesick and don't even realize you're homesick. Oh, Lord, I hurt inside. Most all of you know that my mother's 102 years old. And the thing that I see with her in her life is this. There's no one alive that she can relate to from her generation, her lifestyle, or all. There's nobody there. I can give her all the love as a son can give her. My niece can do the same. But it's not the same. What's the exciting part? She's going to get to see them all pretty quick. And God has promised. God did not tell us that we were going to be separated from each other. Let me ask you this. Those of you who have lost loved ones, moms, dads, are they still not a part of your mind, your memory? Do you still not think, what could they have become, had this or had that? You will be given the opportunity one day to get to witness the ultimate of God's love. Sure, we miss our loved ones here, but it won't be long, because we're not given that long on earth. And people say, well, you don't wonder why God... Look, that's a blessing, people. It is a blessing. What did the Lord say? I'm going to take them, because I see the evil that's around the corner. Why do we have to separate from this human body? That's a good question, right? 1 Corinthians 15:50. What I am saying, that this is Apostle Paul, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Jesus said, I have an inheritance for you. You are my children. I have promised you your inheritance, and I guarantee it will not be corrupted. But you cannot come to me in the presence of my Father in a human condition. God says any human being that would look upon him would die instantly. All you got to do is read Scripture and understand from the prophets. One of their greater fears was they did not want to be where they looked like they were trying to look at God. They couldn't, but they knew in the human condition we cannot be in the presence of God. Why not? We're sinful. The body itself is sinful. As we joke around a lot of times, as soon as you give up the spirit, you're going to be surely stinketh pretty quick. The body is going back to the dust. But God says, don't you worry about that. Hey, like Pete, I got a body waiting for you. I got a body just like I have, glorified. Because you believe in me, you get one too. Because you believe in my birth, you shall be reborn. Because you trust me as you walk, you will be criticized, hated by the world itself. But here's the key, church. You, Christian, will never, ever see death. Death! Where's your sting? Grave! Where's your victory? You'll never see it. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Now listen to him. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He said, when you're no longer in that body, you're present with me. I'm giving you the body to walk around on planet Earth, and I'm cutting your time because I have mercy. I love you. The more we learn about the truth of God, the more we hurt and our heart breaks for those who run from that truth. For the answers you seek for your individual life and for your family is not found outside Jesus Christ. James even said there's some people that go like the wave of the ocean. Whatever is new, they're swooped out and then brought back. Swooped out and brought back. And then he says, A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Is Jesus my Savior? Yes. Are the works that I do then helping me get to heaven? No. Neither the good, the bad, nor the ugly. The story of the father of many nations, Abraham. Remember, Abraham lived to be 175 years old. But I want you to catch how this works when God takes his children home. In Genesis 25, verses 8 through the first part of verse 9. Then Abraham breathed his last and died, 175 years old. I don't think Abraham was fighting that death, 175 years old. And he died at a good old age, an old man, and full of years. But Randy said earlier, you're going to fuss about the years that God has given you? You were created to never die, and you are not just a spacesuit or just the earth suit called a human body. And, now listen to that, he breathed his last and died. And he was gathered to his people. His sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him. Now people say, what do you get to know and recognize your loved ones that's gone on? I get it from the Bible. I get it from God's Word. Now I want you to think about it again. First of all, Abraham died. And then Moses, or God, says to us, through Moses, he said, pay attention here. Because as soon as Abraham died, his spirit, the real Abraham in there, was taken in the presence of his people. Well now, how would you be taken in the presence, or why, if you're not going to recognize your people? We, in the resurrection, Christians, when we are resurrected, we are resurrected in the body. Let me get this for you. We are resurrected by Jesus Christ, and we will recognize each other. I'm gathering that means looking about like we look, only we're going to have a little brighter glow about us. We are resurrected, but he says to us as Christians, and then on the resurrection, you will receive my glorification of your body, what's never supposed to die to begin with. And at that point, you will be glorified, waiting for that time. You're going to be with me, waiting to see the conclusion and the beginning. Anytime you see a conclusion of God, you see a beginning of God. Because he said his kingdom will never cease. It will continue. And so will we, one way or the other. So he's gathered to his people. And then his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him. Died. Spirit gone to be with Christ. He sees his people there. While we are burying the remains here on earth. There is one scripture that I do believe that truly brings this out also. Bathsheba and King David's first son died. The story of that focuses back as during the time that their son was lying ill, King David refused to eat. He refused to take a bath. He refused to move. He refused to eat, not take a bath, and he prayed and prayed and prayed. And then all of the servants come around and they're looking at King David up there, stinking like everybody will. And they said, look, wait a minute, don't tell him. Because look what is done to him during the time of his child dying. How bad can it be when he finds out he's dead? But they get enough nerve to go up. Before they open their mouth, King David looked at him and he said, "The child is dead, isn't he?" "Yes, O king." So what does he do? He jumps up and he says, "It's time to have a feast and time for me to take a bath, to wash the smell of death from me. It is time to celebrate." And those who were around him said, "We don't understand. All this time you were in such horrible physical, mental pain. And yet when you know your child is gone, you smile." Listen to what he said, 2 Samuel 12:23. "But now that he is dead," this is David speaking, "why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." It's not just the New Testament as people break it down. Listen to me. The Word of God is the Word of God, and you can count on it. There's many funerals I've been to, and I say many times, I'm not much on preaching a funeral because I don't know how to do it. Your funeral preaching part is done through your life. Your living is your funeral message. How did you leave somebody else? What have you given? But the fact remains, if you're a Christian, folks, I can only get excited for you. I know that sounds horrible, but I mean it with all my heart. I want to go before any of you. Randy has orders to cry. I want to go before any of you. But let me tell you, if I don't, I'll be with you soon. If I do, you'll be with me soon. That's the way of the promise of Jesus. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift our heart to you. Father, we continually thank you and praise your name for life itself. We ask now, Father, that you will be with the parents who have lost, that you, Father, will fill the heart of each one. They might truly understand that you are in control. It is your love, Father. It is your blessing that you give us. Help us now be a blessing to someone else. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.